I'm not sure that what I've got to say is maybe only about half-baked. It's likely, sometimes I notice when I'm going to dish up my food at home, my wife will tell me, you know, take it from this side of the pot. Don't take it from the middle. Because you see, it's only half-baked. And she seems to know, I don't know how she knows that, which side is baked and which isn't. So you'll have to forgive me if I maybe don't get it just right. I'll try to allow the Spirit of God to get it right for you. And that what I say that is a little off the track or something of that nature, that will just float right over your head as if it was never said. If you want to give this a title, and I don't know whether you like that or whether you don't, I'll just tell you anyway. I would title it, Such as I Have. Such as I Have. Pretty short. As I thought about this topic, by accident, pretty much, I picked up Brother Witter's book of his articles in the Born Again book, and I came to this article, and that was the title of it, Such as I Have. And as I read that article, I thought, it's as live today, 20 years or more later, as it was then when it was penned. I will probably quote a little bit from it a little bit later on, but I would like to talk to you about a few instances in the Bible where it gives accounts of people who gave just what they had. I believe that, brothers and sisters, that we're in an hour when God is requiring more of us than He once was. And I think that we need to be prepared to give more of ourselves. We need to be able to say in our heart, I will lay more on the altar today than I did yesterday. This is 2015. I can hardly believe it. I'm an old man. I used to think I was young. I never thought of myself as being old. But I do now. But you know, the scripture says, they will still bear fruit in old age. So I say, hallelujah. You know, I have a little back trouble, and Irene says sometimes to me after I finished ministry, how is your back? And I said, I didn't notice I had any back while I was ministering. You see, I'm easily distracted. And my mind gets distracted. And off of my pain or off of something else onto what I want to say, what I think the Spirit of God wants to say to us. Hallelujah. The Scripture provides many examples of those who are willing to give up something that may have appeared to us to be something very small, but the Lord used whatever portion it was to accomplish exactly what He desired through a yielded and willing vessel. There's the key. Our willingness and our obedience. The Scripture says, those that are willing, those that are obedient will what? Will eat the good of the land. Every one of us can surrender the such as we have and give it as unto God. Once we have made that sacrifice, it is in the hands of the Lord, and He uses it as He wills. We must always remember that God does not look so much at what we have as He does our obedience to surrender to His will. And as we see in Scripture, He is able to multiply our small contribution into something much more valuable, infinitely greater in significance. A good example of this principle is found in John 6:1-14, where there was a multitude of people following Jesus, and He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" 5,000 of them. Have you ever heard your wife say, "You got a few people coming over? I wonder if I've got enough food." Might be 4 people. Jesus was looking after 5,000 that day. Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? It was obvious that there was not enough money to buy the food, to buy the bread. But there was a lad in that group, that throng of people that day. Just a little guy. And he had something. He had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, small fishes, which was rather a small amount when you consider the size of the people that were there that day. The little boy gave such as he had. He gave it to the master. He gave it to the multiplier. And he took the little that the boy had, blessed it, and instructed his disciples to distribute it to everyone. All were fed, and 12 baskets of fragments remained. The Lord is not limited and could not have accomplished, or could have accomplished the miracle even without the boy's little amount that he had. He could have done that easily. But He chose to use what that little fellow had that day, and to just demonstrate that He took the little and made of it much. Hallelujah. It's okay to say hallelujah. Amen. This reveals something, I think. The lesson is that the Lord is frequently requiring something of us. Some act of faith. Some act of obedience. Some willingness to put forth an effort. And He will do the rest. Hallelujah. In Acts, the 3rd chapter and verses 1 to 16, I'm not going to read it all, but I'll just tell you about it. We read the account of the lame man who was carried daily to the temple gate so that he could beg for alms from the people passing into the temple. It so happened that Peter and John came by that day. They saw him laying there. He looked at them. They looked at him. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. Rise up and walk." All that Peter and John were that day, they had no ability in themselves to have that man stand up and walk. All they were providing was vessels. That's all they were. That's all you are. But I'll tell you, God used them that day to accomplish the very thing He wanted to accomplish in that man that had come there day after day after day begging alms, wanting money. Peter and John were willing to give him not what he wanted, but what he needed. Praise the Lord. The other thing to notice about that account is that after it was all over, the people looked upon Peter and John as if they had done something wonderful, something miraculous. So they said, "Why do you look on us as we have done this great thing?" I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, if there is one lesson to be learned in this move of the Spirit, is that we take credit for nothing. Amen. Absolutely nothing. This is a walk of humility, and our example is Christ. It is a humble walk. It is the walk of a servant. And all that we can do is be the vessels, and we can give such as we have. Give I unto thee. Hallelujah. One day, the prophet Elijah, after he had declared to Ahab that there would not be rain on the land for 3.5 years. Well, you know, I think most of you know the story, that Ahab wasn't that pleased with the old prophet. So he left. Elijah left the presence of Ahab and hid himself near Cherith. And there God provided him with water from the brook and ravens to feed him. You ever seen a raven? Ever seen what they eat? I'm not too sure I would want that dinner. Anyway, that's what the scripture says. He provided the ravens to give him what he needed for sustenance. In time, the brook dried up. Now, isn't that something? You know, just about the time you think you've had it all, just about the time you are fed up right to here, then comes the other thing. What was it Shakespeare said? Troubles come not in single file or something like that, but in battalions. And sometimes I think we feel that way. The troubles come in battalions. Legions. Many of the brook dries up. Well, at least he had water, but now he doesn't have water. I don't know if the ravens were still coming or not. Maybe the ravens quit coming too. I don't know. But anyway, God is just, that's no big problem to God. God just said, Elijah, you know what you do? Here's where you go. I've got someone prepared down the road there for you. All you've got to do is go down the road. There'll be a widow down there. You'll find her, and we'll go from there. So Elijah is obedient. He does what God instructs him to do. He goes down. After this brook had dried up, the Lord instructed him to go down to Zarephath, where there would be this widow that would provide for him. And just as the Lord had said, when he entered the gates of the city, there was the widow woman gathering sticks. He says to her, I don't think he even said, please, get me a cup of water. I'm thirsty. I want a cup of water. So while she is on the way for the cup of water, he has the nerve to say, by the way, bring me a little piece of meal. The nerve of the guy. This is a widow. And she says to him, you know, all I have at home in this little bin is a little bit of meal, and I have a little bit of oil in a jar, and I'm going to make a cake for my son, a little cake for my son and myself. We're going to eat it and die. And this fellow says to him, her, make me a cake. And then make one for yourself. But I have no more meal. Do what the man of God told you to do. She was obedient. She gave what she had. And the barrel of meal did not run dry, nor did the cruse of oil run dry. Hallelujah. The Lord just took it. What she had, multiplied it, hallelujah, and all were provided. I'll bet you she was glad that old man came by that day, because a little bit later on, her son got deathly ill. What now? You see, that's not a problem for God. Elijah says, where is he? Well, he's upstairs. Up he goes to where this child, I think the life was already out of him by the sound of the scripture there. He's dead. Stretches himself over the boy three times, I think. I've got it written down up there, but just going by memory. I kind of like to get away from that. If I miss by one or two, you know, I got the sense of it. Life came back into his body, and the boy was well. Hallelujah. All because a widow was obedient to the one God had set that day, and made Elijah the little cake to eat. And God did all the rest. Just looked after everything from there. She was faithful. She was obedient. One day, I don't know the fact that I left my watch at home, whether that's good or bad. I see there's a clock back there. Just bear with me for a little while. If you get finished before I do, maybe you tell me somehow. You want me to tell me. Just nod off. Marie used to do that in my class quite often. In Mark 12, but I was easy to go to sleep listening to. Mark 12, 41 to 44. Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites. My scripture reference says, it's a very small copper coin worth a fraction of a penny. You know, in Canada today, we don't have pennies. They're too valueless to even have. They just rounded off now to the nearest nickel. Now, I don't know if that made Canadians happy or sad. Suppose if you're a coin collector, I don't know how that fits into your program. But anyway, if you were to put if you still have a few copper coins and you drop them into the collection plate on Sunday morning when the collection is taken. I don't know, Darren, what would you do with them? I don't know if they've got any value at all anymore in Canada. You still have coppers in the States, Andy? Still have pennies? Oh, you're way behind us. Anyway, what she put in was very little. By the worth standard, you understand. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, now, isn't that something? Jesus, the very Son of God, who could minister simple things, deep things, he could just minister. This is significant enough for him to call his disciples and say, look at that. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. In other words, such as she had, she gave. The woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5:26, had spent all that she had on physicians, but to no avail. Did you ever have that experience? Did you ever try a whole lot of different things for some ailment? Some nasty little thing that's bothering you? But one day, Jesus was coming by. And she determined in her heart that I'm going out into that throng of people that are following him. And if I get close enough to him, I'll just touch the hem of his garment. That's all that I will need. And I will be made whole. Such as he had, gave he unto her that day. And that was, as he said, after it had happened, virtue has flowed from me. Who touched me? He gave her what she needed. Such as he had, he gave to her that day. You'll remember, pardon me for going so quickly, but the time goes quickly. You'll remember in Samuel, 1 Samuel, Hannah desperately wanted a child. She requested of the Lord for a male child. I wondered as I couldn't remember, so I looked it up and I thought it was a male child that she had asked for, but I wasn't sure if she just asked for a child. Or a male child. But I found it was a male child that she asked for. Now, that doesn't make males any better than females. It's just what the scripture says. She asked for that. And her vow was to give him, the child, to the Lord. All the days of his life. For this child, I'm quoting now. For this child I prayed. And the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. Such as Hannah had, she gave unto the Lord. There will be parents here, many of you, who have dedicated your children to the Lord. You have brought them to the elders of the church. You have asked for that blessing to be upon them. There is the laying on of hands of those elders. As they do that, I remember it every time it was done with our boys. And it came to me every time that that happened. There may come a time when I will have to stand on that blessing. And I will have to stand firm that this child, this son of mine, of ours, is not ours, but is lent to the Lord, is the Lord's to use as He wills. Hallelujah. Hannah lent Samuel to the Lord. Such as she had, she gave as unto the Lord. The ultimate example of giving not only such as he had, but all that he had was Jesus. For he gave his life for the benefit of all of humankind. The death and glorious resurrection of our Lord was multiplied to all humanity. It goes beyond the human to the entire creation. He died for His creation. What a Savior! What willingness! What obedience! What an example of humility and sacrificial love. A few minutes ago, I referred to Brother Witter's article that was titled, Such As I Have. And I would now like to give you a quotation from it as follows. Before we can ever see the power of God manifested in our midst, we as members of the church must be more willing than we have been in the past. We cannot be members of the body of Christ and not have something to give. That is what the church is all about. That is our mission. That is our call. Now, this is me. This is not a spectator church, but rather it is what every joint supplies. We had a meeting here in North Battleford last Sunday. A wonderful meeting. There was really no preaching. Can you have a meeting without a preacher? You bet you can. You bet you can. Just let the Spirit of God move just as He wills to do what He wants to do. To meet the needs that are present in your midst. All praise God. It's what every joint supplies. There were lots of joints supplying tonight. He goes on to write about the spiritual growth of the church by saying this, and I'm quoting again now. We need the manifestation of the power and authority of the Holy Spirit to increase within the spiritual body called the church. We must see more evidence in the prayer of elders anointing with oil and the prayer of faith, and also in the gift of healing in operation. We have been assured by Christ Himself that the very gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. This will come about as each one of us takes more seriously our divine responsibility as members of the body of Christ. Now, just before I go any further, I want to get one thing very plunk and plain. I'm not scolding anybody. I am in the same boat as everyone else. I just happen to be talking, that's all. But you know something? I'll tell you something about ministering. You're going to get the test. Absolved from it, or what word do I want there? Excluded from it? You sure aren't. If you're prepared to minister something, you better be prepared also for the test that'll come, because it will come. Just the same for you as anybody else. Amen, brethren? And so, we must take more seriously our divine responsibility as members of this body, the body of Christ. Now, this is me again. Our divine responsibility is to operate the gifts imparted to each one of us by the laying on of hands of the presbytery. You know, brothers and sisters, we must take the things I've been speaking of here, we must take them very seriously. If we lose that which was established, that which was the pattern from the very beginning, if we lose it, we just blend in with many, many others. God has shown us that that is a vital part of the body of Christ. And it must remain a part. And it isn't just a nice thing to do. It's not just a feel-good thing. It is downright serious business, what God imparts to you or what He imparts to me. Why? Because you know what the expectation is? That you will do something with it. That you will operate it according to His will, according to His wishes, according to His desire, according to what He wants from you. It's not frivolous stuff. Paul said to Timothy, neglect not. Do not neglect the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Think about these things. The odd time I woke up in the morning, usually wake up before morning. But anyway, you know, when I'm about the time I'm supposed to get up, I'll think, Lord, I remember some things that you said over me years ago. I remember. And they haven't come to pass. And that's not your fault, Lord. That's not your fault. That's my fault. Help me. Help me, oh God, to enter into those things that the prophets spoke over. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4, 14-16 is where that came from. And then in 1 Timothy 1:18 it says, This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Oh, there's nothing easy about it. You know something? Some of us who have walked a long time this way, for the longest time, I just considered myself to be a rookie, and pretty much still do. But you know, there are times when I know what I should do, but I don't want to do it. Does that ever happen to some of you people who walk this way for quite a while? I know what I should do, but I don't want to do it. War, a good warfare. According to what was spoken over you. And I'm going to wind up here pretty quick. In these last few statements, please don't be discouraged. But I'm going to ask you some questions. And I'd like you to take them seriously. Where then does this leave the members of the body of Christ in this hour in which we live? Over the past 67 years. Now, I wasn't around for all of those years. I know I don't even look like I'm 67 yet. Over the past 67 years, one or more of the nine gifts of the Spirit have been imparted by the laying on of hands of the presbytery, that is a body of elders, to many members of the body of Christ. I won't do it, but if I was to ask all those that have been prayed and prophesied over to stand, there would be a huge number of people to stand in this very audience. I know there would. Some of you haven't been. That doesn't mean you've come short. It just means this, that if you're serious with God, if you mean business with God, you should desire that with all of your heart. You should desire that thing. I may have told you this before, and he's likely sitting in the audience here today. When one of my sons came to me one day, this is years ago, he was getting, you know, he was in, I guess, university at the time, and said, "Dad, it's never happened to me. Maybe I've fallen through the cracks. Maybe the Lord has forgotten about me." I said, "Son, you desire that thing with all your heart. We don't have to set up any programs. You desire it, and the day will come when the desire of your heart will be fulfilled. The presbytery will come by, and they will call you because they will see that that desire is in you, and God will impart the glorious things that He wants to impart to you." And it was a prophetic statement, because it wasn't long before that very thing happened to him. Oh, desire it, brothers and sisters, if you have not received that. Desire it with all that is within you. If you're older or younger, it doesn't matter. Desire the thing God has for you and wants you to possess. Hallelujah. God said to Moses one day, "What do you have in your hand?" Pretty simple question. Moses replied, "A rod." "Cast it down." "Cast it down." Another time, I believe I'm right about this. I didn't look it up. I think he said, "What do you have in your hand? Stretch it forth." My question to you today, my question to me, what do we have in our hands? What do you have in your hands? What is it that you possess? What gift has been imparted to you? Dig out the tape, the recording, the sheet of paper, and read what it says. You didn't have them in those days. Just then remember what you can remember. And seek God about it. I'm dead serious. You know, excuse me. Maybe they've been tucked away somewhere for months. Maybe for years. You kind of got a vague notion. Have a look. You might be surprised what's there. Seek God that they might come to the forefront and begin to be a living, breathing part of you. They are your life. Time does not permit me to go into ministering on the nine gifts of the Spirit. But allow me to just use one example. And this example can apply to the other gifts as well. There may be quite a number of you here today that have had the gifts of healing prophesied to you. But you're not an elder. How is that gift to operate outside of eldership? Can it operate outside of eldership? Well, why would you have been prophesied that if it can't? It's not new order that I'm speaking about. Not new order at all. If you had the gifts of healing prophesied to you, there's a way in which those gifts will work for you. Amen? Otherwise, there would be no purpose in it. Your responsibility is to seek God in the operation of that gift. I want to say this one other thing. As elders, you need to know the gifts that are resident in your flock and draw on those gifts as is appropriate or as need arises. As I said, this is not changing the order that God has laid down. It is following the order so that as the body of Christ, we might be more productive. We might be more productive in meeting the needs both inside and outside the church. Hallelujah. There was ever a time when this corporate body of Christ needs to cry out to God. It is today. We have circled the mountain long enough. It is time to enter in and possess the inheritance that is rightfully ours in Christ. It will only happen through submission and obedience and laying down the self-life. Oh, maybe you say, I don't really have much trouble with that. I don't believe you. We all have trouble with the self-life. You know, some of these very things that I'm speaking of need to happen right in our own homes. That miniature kingdom of God, as Brother Hinchliffe used to call it. That little church. Mom and Dad and the children. Or maybe now it's just Mom and Dad. It's still a place where we can come together and cry out to God that His hand would move in our midst as we gather together on Sunday morning. It's not just church. It's a spiritual body. It is where God meets with His people. Hallelujah. Let us see it for what it really is. What do you have to give? Lay your gifts before Him. Lay your all on the altar of sacrifice. The source of all wisdom will reveal to you how your gift will make room for you. Oh, it may not bring you before great men. It may. It has in times past for some people. That doesn't matter. All that matters is that through you and your willingness to serve, the beauty of the nature of Christ will be seen. We have a choice today. A big choice. We can take the such as we have and let it remain in obscurity. Or as I've sometimes said, tuck it away in a drawer. I've gone into drawers and I find things I didn't know I had. Forgot all about it. We can tuck it away. Oh, I have it. But I'll just leave it there. I'll just leave it there for the time being. Take it out. presented to the Master to be used for His divine purposes. Father, in the in Your hallowed presence tonight, the words may not have been said very well. They may not have really hit the mark. But Father, take that which is from Your heart and just let it find the lodging place where You will. We are unclean vessels. Language is something that we find difficult to just put in the right way, dear Lord. But Father, take such as we have and do Your sweet will with it. Father, tonight, as we lift our hearts to You, Lord, see the desires that are there. See our failings and our shortcomings, but see also the desire that is there to please You. Father, to be guided by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, the anointing will break the yoke. And Father, we all carry some kind of yoke. We carry some kind of burden. And Your word tells us that there's a burden bearer. There is the one that says, cast your burdens on Me. Father, somehow tonight, by the moving of Your Spirit, we lay that before You. And Father, help us, oh, help us, that we will not pick it up again, but leave it there for You. Just to use us as a willing and obedient vessels, Your will to perform. For Lord, all You're looking for from us is that willingness to just do what You want us to do. Father, as we stand in the silence of this place, this hallowed place, hallow our hearts. Oh, our Father, Thy will be done in these temples of earth. Bless this people. Father, give us an ability, a desire, a willingness to just follow the Lamb wheresoever He goes. Guide us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.